Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Magnolia Public Schools Audit Facilities Committee meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara. I'm the Executive Assistant and Board Secretary here at Magnolia Public Schools. Before we begin, a couple of reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. And second, if you're a member of the public and you'd wish to make a comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. If it is something that you feel uncomfortable in doing so, you do not have to state your name. However, as a reminder to our board and staff joining, please state your name before giving your comment. And with that, we'll officially begin today's meeting. The day is Wednesday, September 8th, 2021, and the time is 6:17 p.m. With that, Mr. Mohamedov, may you please call the meeting to order.
Hi, yes, this is Mikhan Mohamedov. I call the Magnolia Public Schools Audit and Facilities Committee meeting to order.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, I'll take roll call. Mr. Mohamedov?
Here.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Here.
Thank you, our two committee members. We have quorum to continue today's meeting. Next, we'll move on to the approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov and Ms. Gonzalez. I'll now take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comment, 6 minutes if translation is needed. We did not receive any public comment form for this meeting. However, if you're a member of the public and you would wish to make a comment, you may unmute yourself now. Perfect. If there's no public comments, we'll move forward next with the announcements from CEO and superintendent and committee members. I'll turn this over to Mr. Rubalcaba.
Thank you, Jen, and good evening, Diane, Mikhan. Nice to see all of you. And thank you again for setting aside some time to be with us to go over these very critical facilities items. Besides that, I know tomorrow we have a very extensive board meeting. So I will save my school updates until tomorrow, but just to say that things are going well. And with that, I will turn it over back to Jen.
Thank you. Before proceeding, is there any announcements from our committee members? Perfect. If not, we'll move forward next with the approval of minutes from the regular Audit Facilities Committee meeting on August 9th, 2021. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mikhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I'll now take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you to our committee members. The minutes for the regular Audit Facilities Committee meeting on August 9th has been approved. Moving forward with the agenda, are the recommended action items. We'll start off with 2A, approval for Pacific Charter School Development to serve as a partner on the Magnolia Science Academy 7 expansion project. This will be presented by Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel and Director of Facilities.
Good evening, everybody. The approval we're seeking here is to bring on Pacific Charter School Development as a partner. And for this particular project, which is the expansion of enrollment at MSA 7, to provide project management services. In the background materials that were provided to you, we discussed why we want to expand at enrollment at MSA 7. It's on a leased property, as you know, a church property. MSA 7 has been operating there for several years and has been very successful on many fronts, including enrollment. So we definitely perceive a opportunity to increase enrollment there. Presently, we're operating under a conditional use permit which allows up to approximately 280 students. We actually have a bit more, which is fine. But if we need to go up to, if we want to go up to 500, which is our goal, you know, we need to submit for a new conditional use permit, which we are in the process of doing. We have a land use consultant on board. We have a site plan that's being finalized. The application itself is being prepared. I received a draft of it. We have recurring meetings with our land use consultants on Friday. So we'll discuss that. Just by way of background and the interest of disclosure, I used to work for Pacific Charter School Development. I worked there for about 12 years. And the unique thing about it is the only nonprofit on the West Coast that provides, you know, this suite of real estate services to charter schools. The other sister company, you might call it, on the East Coast is called Civic Builders, and they were founded roughly around the same time as Pacific Charter School Development. So Pacific Charter School Development has been around since 2004, working with different charter school operators. You know, back in the day, it was, I think, the big six CMOs that they were principally working with, which were like the Green Dots Alliance, ICEF at that point, Aspire. And then slowly as the charter sector matured, Pacific started working with our other charter operators. They definitely have the experience that I think we would need on this project. And I think, you know, one could ask, well, maybe we should bring them in on the back end of the project, maybe the construction part. And actually, that would be a good question. However, I do think there is a good deal of value added at the front end with the CUP. Anybody that knows anything about land use and entitlements understands that it can be a tricky and treacherous process. Just as we start submitting our CUP, we'll start having to deal with different city agencies. And I think that's where some value could be added. We want to avoid situations where the city is asking us to make major improvements. For example, curb and gutter improvements on Roscoe Boulevard, expanding the sidewalks, installing new light posts, things of that nature. It's always kind of a tricky path to go down. So I think the value in them being part of that early process is that they can contribute and help us strategize, because we're gonna have to go to the council person's office. We're gonna have to talk to the neighborhood council. We're gonna have to discuss this project with the various city agencies. And I think if, for example, Bureau of Engineering comes back and says they want us to do X, Y, and Z for the project, I think having their experience on our side, we can then, kind of pivot and say, well, you didn't require that on this project, or we achieved the same mitigation measures by doing something different. So I think their services will add value at the front end of the project as well as the back end. The way the proposal is structured is the total fee is $138,000 for 12 months, and it's a fixed fee. So we're not going to get billed for, it's all inclusive. So if they go out to the project site, several times a month, we're not going to get an invoice for mileage spent. And that's obviously different than what we've experienced in the past with other construction managers, for example. I'm thinking about MSA Santa Ana. We got invoices from the construction manager for mileage, so we would not be getting that. We had another experience on MSA 1 where there really wasn't a fixed fee. And as you may recall, the company that was providing the construction management / project management services, you know, came back and asked us for more money to continue working on the project. Ultimately, we said no, because it was just, you know, the overall cost was getting out of hand. So I just wanted to point out those differences between, you know, those kinds of vendors that we've engaged in the past versus this particular vendor. They, as I said, they are a nonprofit. So basically what they're trying to do is cover their costs, their overhead costs, by charging this type of fee. There are other vendors in this space, but all of them are for-profit models. And so as you would expect, the costs would be, I would expect considerably more. So for that reason, you know, we spoke to Pacific Charter and, you know, they agreed to provide the services. So that is the proposal in front of you, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fontiveros. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Yes. Thank you, Patrick, for the presentation. Is landlord on board with this? Did we speak to them?
Yes, they're on board with us. Doing this, we've had conversations with them about this, conversations in which Megan, the principal, and Alfredo and Mustafa were involved. So we're working hand in hand with them on this CUP process.
Okay, so like we don't need like anything like written from them. Like I'm just thinking loud and we're right in the middle, and then landlord comes and has questions or concerns or wants to negotiate the lease, for instance.
Right.
Is it going to change the lease we have with them amount?
It will eventually. I think, and they've said as much, they're on board with us doing this. Of course, if we're going to bring more students to the campus, they're going to want increased rent, which I think is fair. As part of this expansion, we're going to be taking over a building where they presently operate a preschool. So we're going to make some improvements to that, and we would use that as part of our program. Eventually, in order to get to the 500 students, we would have to use modular buildings. So they had approved one particular scheme for those modular buildings. We're going to be talking to them about a different, which I don't think they will have any problems with. I mean, ultimately, I think we've been a very good tenant for them. Frankly, I think we may be their sole source of income for that property. So I think we continue to have a good relationship with them, and I've found them, you know, responsive and a cooperative partner. So I think it should go well with them.
Okay. The only thing is, with after MSA 6 experience, if we can have any type of like MOU, just understanding what we're trying to do and that they are aware, and if we can do something in writing, maybe just an email or just hey, listen, we have been speaking, this is our plan. Yes, please, maybe we may not have exact numbers right now, but it will be considered and we will do this to your pre-K. If we can have some sort of MOU kind of thing, Patrick, the simple, it doesn't have to be all fancy. Just that we are on the same page, because, you know,
yeah.
just leave it in limbo.
Exactly. I think that's a great idea. We are going to have to get their signature on our CUP application. So at that time, we'll have something more formal to put in front of them.
Also the understanding of what we're trying to do, that they are okay with us, you know, there is this basketball field there, right? That will be eliminated after this. And, you know, maybe a couple members of church comes out and protests this, and then they, hey, listen, guys. So we don't have any of that. I'm just thinking about it. I'm sure you
absolutely. Guys. No, absolutely. And that is the next step here as far as, you know, getting their sign off.
Appreciate if I could get, if committee could get an update on that down the road.
Okay, yep.
Thank you. And also, Harun is here, right?
Yes, Harun is here.
Okay. So 138,000. I heard you, Patrick. The amount, what you're saying is reasonable. The thing, I'll get to Harun in a minute. The amount, the 138. Given the timeline, say we agree to this, for some reason CUP doesn't go through, because they're not the ones doing the CUP, are they? They're not.
No. They'll help us, but they're not the ones that are submitting it.
When do we expect the CUP to get back to us?
Well, actually, we're expecting to submit the CUP no later than September 17th.
Okay, so it's not the PCSD is not part of the CUP process, right?
They have been to a certain extent. Once I started thinking that they might be a good partner on this particular project, I did start inviting them to our weekly meetings, at which, you know, they've brought some some comments about more and not necessarily related to the CUP itself, but more kind of thinking of operations and logistics and strategy as far as talking to the council person's office, the neighborhood council. So they've been helpful in that regard.
Got it. Now the where I'm trying to get at is, say for some reason CUP doesn't go through. I mean, fingers crossed that they will go through. Something happens, then what happens to the agreement, or does the project become relevant? Does PCSD become relevant? What happens to the whole thing?
CUP
is just we're gonna get it kind of deal, like for the most part, 90%.
Yeah. So basically, if let's say the way the fee is set up is originally they were gonna divide it up over 12 months, so the total monthly fee was gonna be about 11,000 and change. I told them, well, we want to make sure that this is gonna get off the ground, that we're not gonna have any issues. So can we have a lower fee, you know, at the beginning, and then towards the middle it can go up, and then finally during the construction phase we'll bump it up even more. So it's still the same fixed fee. It does gradually go up, and the purpose for that obviously is to, you know, account for, let's say we submit our CUP and, you know, a month later into it, the council person's office says, no, we're not going to support this. We're actively going to oppose it. And, you know, then it realistically wouldn't get done. At that point, we would have spent, you know, $7,500, and we would just terminate or put our agreement with them on hold, or terminate it completely and move on to other things. So it's not like we owe them the entire 138.
Yes, I saw the note about no penalty and all that. So we expect this whole thing to be over by, say, next August, according to
that's our expectation. Yeah, and if for some reason it were to go on longer, You know, this is only for 12 months. We would have to revisit, you know, the contractual relationship with them. I would expect that they would ask for more money and we could negotiate it at that time.
Okay. All right. The funding, the money, how do we, the 138, have we budgeted it, Harun?
No, we haven't budgeted it because this would be, as long as we have CUP and as long as we have long-term lease agreement with the landlord, there would be no budget impact on this expense as this cost would be recorded as a capital improvement or construction progress, depends on how we proceed. Mm-hmm. So there would be no budget impact on this expense.
And cash-wise will be...
Cash-wise, the school has close to $2 million sits in its bank account, so there is no issue on that one as well.
I was just looking at the proposed budget, and the school had net income of $90,000, so it's not impacting...
No, it's not going to impact the school budget at all. Not at all, yeah.
Okay, and the construction, are we financing the construction itself, the modulars?
We're still looking at that. There are a couple ways we can do it. Probably the best route is going to be leasing the units as opposed to purchasing them. Which would, if we purchase them, you know, it's going to be a larger upfront cost, whereas if we lease them, you know, it's going to be less upfront cost.
We will discuss that, I guess, further down as we get to that.
We'll continue to evaluate that. You may recall that originally we wanted to do ground up construction for this project, but the church has their own project in mind that they want to do, which is a little ambitious, but you know, I'm cautiously optimistic that they may get it off the ground, which would include them actually constructing, you know, brand new facilities, including facilities for us. So
do not affect our operations though, right?
Right.
Okay.
And so I'm sorry to answer your question, we are seeking financing. As you may know, we have a financial advisor on board. And we're just kind of waiting right now to see this, among other projects, kind of gel, come together, mm-hmm. so that we have, you know, actual projects to present to lenders. So that's still in the works.
Together, I guess, to a pod, yeah. To them, say one, and present it as a one whole a project.
Yeah.
Okay. Correct. I'm good. Thank you for your answers, guys.
This is Alfredo Macan. I think just to give you more perspective, this also would have to go through our authorizers. Right now, we are able to, at capacity, have 360 students. So if we did expand to the 500, we would start that process right away.
So the charter amendment?
Yeah, so we would have to do a material revision for the petition. And the good thing is LAUSD is very close to adopting a timeline for material revisions, which is something they haven't done in the past. Mm-hmm. So this would give us a good indication what we could do as of July 1st, 2022. I'm hoping that, you know, we do this in phases based on obviously the CUP approval, but we would be able to onboard 360 kids for 21-22 and then move forward for 22-23. But there will be some back and forth between us and LAUSD. The good thing and why I feel confident is because under AB 1505, which is you know, the new way we get measured whether or not our schools are performing at high capacity from, you know, from a fiscal operations standpoint, academics and organizational management and governance, is that MSA 7 did receive in this oversight report a 3, which mm-hmm. indicates that they are, our students are performing better than the students in the state. You know, different subgroups. So that's a good indicator that any board member would say, oh, good, there's good work happening at the school. therefore we bless you, right, to then bring on another 5,000 students. So this is a process that also will involve them. So we definitely will keep you apprised of how that looks based on what happens with the CUP and the approval of that. And I'm going to start having conversations with our LAUSD representative on this piece.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Any further questions from our committee members? If not, the motion is for the committee to approve the selection of Pacific Charter School Development, Inc., a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, to provide certain project management services for the expansion of enrollment at MSA 7 and related entitlement and construction phases for a total cost not to exceed $138,000, and further approves that MPS staff be authorized to negotiate and sign a professional services contract for said services in such forms as MPS staff may deem appropriate and in the best interests of MPS. Staff further recommends and moves that the committee recommend to the full MPS Board of Directors that it takes the same action. With that, would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move.
Okay, Mr. Mohamedov, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you to our committee members. The motion carries with a unanimous vote. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to 2B, approval of wall construction at Magnolia Science Academy 1 and selection of vendor. This will be presented by Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel, Director of Facilities, and Mr. Sahin, our Project Manager. I'll turn this over to Mr. Sahin.
Good evening, everyone. This is Mustafa Sahin. I'm the project manager for MPS. So the item in front of you is to approve Isaac Botner construction to build the prototype 2 wall in MSA 1's parking lot, south part of the parking lot between neighbors. So to spend up to $76,900 on the project. So the little background about this project, actually this project was included in high school project. Altman, which was our general construction company, was not able to perform this project due to their insurance restriction, which prevent them working at a residential area. So that's why we had to remove from their scope of the work. So after we finished the high school project, we filed for and received a zone change for our parking lot from parking to C, commercial zone. And then as a condition to the zone change, MSA 1 also agreed to make some changes, like such as fixing the drainage issue in the parking lot, creating an open green space and concrete pad with solar shade structure and fencing around our parking lot. And also putting a track around the parking lot. So this was in the scope of the work initially, but we had to remove from their scope of the work. And also one more piece. One of our neighbor proved that the water that was kind of piling in our back of parking lot damage their wall and then their home. And then we kind of made an agreement with them and we promised them that we would replace the current wall. So that is also, you know, kind of in the background information. For the procurement, what we did, can you go up a little bit, Jenny? So we have been working with Franco Architect. And we prepare an RFP And then we also include the sample of RFP in this report. So they, Franco Architect, reach out to their vendors that they know, three of them, which are, you know, which had experience in building this kind of wall. And I also reach out to another local vendor. So we had four codes, and working again with Franco, we have a standing meeting. So we have reviewed all of the codes, and then we decided to choose. To choose Isaac Bodner, as they have the most experience in this kind of wall based on Franco Architect's recommendation. Can you go a little down, please? And the RFP and then all the proposals are also attached to this report. The total amount that Isaac Bodner Construction is proposing to build the wall is $64,082. We are proposing to add almost 20% of contingency, so total of $76,900. So for this cost, MSA One is gonna pay from their reserve. And as at the beginning of the meeting, as Mekan questioned, so we are planning to finance the entire project. So as soon as that is secured, then we will also include this expense to our finance. Can you go down a little bit, Jenny? Yeah. So this is what I have to present, and I am, happy to answer if you might have any questions.
Mr. Sahin, is there any questions or comments from the members of the public?
Or Patrick, did I forget anything?
No, you covered it perfectly. Thank you.
If there's no questions or comments from the public, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
I do. The Nguyen family, right? The cost includes their wall as well. The $64,000 includes making them happy about their damages as well, or is it separate?
So I think we have we had an agreement. We had to pay them, I think, around $50,000 for the damage that caused by the water that was collecting on our parking lot. But that's what I'm going to come. What we are going to do after after you guys approve Isaac Bodner Construction, we are going to take him back to the site, and we are going to ask them to demolish the current wall and then build the wall on, the same place where the current wall is.
That's in the RFP.
Yes. I mean, that was not in the RFP, but that's what we are going to ask the construction company to come and then to the site and then, go from there.
Being that there was so much damage from water collected on our site, is there going to be some sort of a proper drainage so that that doesn't happen again?
It is part of the project, Ms. Gonzalez. It's part of the project because we already put a drainage system in the high school parking lot. And then we are also going to put the same drainage system on our middle school site parking lot. That's what we promised to city. When we receive the zone change, and actually we are late to do those promises, but we are working on it.
Okay. Once we finish this, the neighbor issue will not repeat itself. The construction wise, we will have taken our precautions, and we can cover it with what we are approving now, right?
Yes.
Okay. I was looking at the RFPs. They have Zingo. They had $50,500, and then they had a sales tax. So it's not like we're bringing something and putting it there, right?
No.
I don't know if you guys noticed if they had sales there.
Don't see that. Franco Architect didn't pick Zingo or didn't recommend Zingo because the type of the wall that they are proposing is not the type that we put in our promise to the city.
They're not technically building, they're bringing something and just installing it.
They were also proposing to build, but it's a different type of wall. It's a masonry wall, not proto-2 type wall.
Okay. Yeah, just
If I may, this is Patrick. So the proto-2 wall is a CMU. It's made of CMU. Concrete masonry units. It's called proto-2 because it has, my understanding is with the City of Los Angeles Department of Building and Safety, they have a familiarity with this type of wall. So it's a quicker plan check process than it would be with another type of wall.
Okay. And there's a timeline for this, for us or for the Isaac company to finish, to start?
They both, you know, all of the vendors said like 5 to 6 weeks. So, and then we are also would like to start with this project. So it's not on our way because we have other projects are also in the queue. So this, you know, we will start with this and then drainage and then the other improvement plan that we have in the plan.
So would it be like good idea to kind of have some sort of timeline between them and us, or rather than having an open-ended?
That's a good suggestion, Mikhail. We will definitely clear and then ask a deadline just to complete the project, as it also involves to get a permit from the city because it's eight foot high wall. City requires a permit, so that's why. And as you know, due to COVID, everything is little.
Right, that's exactly why I kind of brought it up, and they say that any delay will be charged at $228 per hour, $1,350 per move on. I don't know what they mean by that, but if they're gonna say that, okay, delays is on our end, will they start charging us hourly?
Yeah, no, we'll make sure. This is Patrick. Yeah, so we will work on a timeline with them. That's reasonable. I do believe we have the original plans that had been submitted to Building and Safety back when we were doing the high school construction. So I think we do have those plans still, and they will have to submit them on their own behalf and pull that permit. So we will definitely draft a timeline for this. It's basically design build, so they will have a certain period of time to complete their plans to submit to the city. You know, then obviously the city's process is a little bit unknown, but we're going to leverage the fantastic relationship we have with Blumenfield's office to see if they can help us expedite that plan check and then move into construction.
Okay. All right.
Can you go up a little bit, Jenny, because the previous plan was the initial plan, and then the plan that you guys are seeing on the screen is the new plan. So you can compare the differences.
Question to ask you though, because in construction, I know they say your wall is usually between 6 to 8 foot. And 8 foot walls usually don't have any problem, even in a residential area.
Sarah, what was the question? So, I mean, I heard
an about 8 foot wall basically in a residential area is no problem. Even so, the wall that you're constructing would be an 8 foot wall. I'm just sort of questioning the additional permit on that one.
Yeah, we still need to. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Pedro. Sorry, Mustafa. Yeah, we have to pull a permit for it. I mean, we've checked, and the contractor Isaac mm-hmm. Bodner has said that we have to get a permit. So we're okay. Gonna get a permit. Thank you.
Any further questions or comments from our committee members? Sorry, if there is no comments, then the motion is for the committee to approve one, the selection of Isaac Bodner Construction for the prototype 2 wall construction that is a part of the Magnolia Science Academy 1 middle school parking lot site improvement project, and to spend up to $76,900 on said project, and 2, the execution of a contract that staff may negotiate with such vendor, and that the committee further recommend and move that the board of directors of MPS approve the same. With that, would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. I'll now take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you to our committee members. The motion carries with a unanimous vote. Next on our agenda, we'll move on to information and discussion items, starting with 3A, update on shade structure project for Magnolia Science Academy 1 High School building. This will be presented by Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel, Director of Facilities, and Mr. Sahin, our Project Manager. I'll turn this over to Mr. Sahin.
All right, good evening again, dear stakeholders, everyone. So this one is an information item. As we finish this project, first week of the school, as promised to our CEO, because he asked us to put a deadline to finish the project, so we were able to finish this project. So this just a little background about this project. In front of our new high school building, there is a lunch area, and we wanted to have a shade structure over there so we could use for drop off, pick up, lunch, nutrition, for all other purposes, especially after having MSA 5 with MSA 1. So that became very vital area. So and then, as you may remember, on June 24, board approved with 75,000. Anyway, so in June 24, we brought to your attention, you guys approved it. But during that time, we were still in communicating with the structural engineer just to finalize the project. And then based on the requirement, he recommended to have 8 holes, 9 feet deep each. And initially we were assuming that they would just tie to the building. And then I also reached out to the structural engineer to give a clarification on those requirements. And then we also received his explanation, and it was also added to this report. I don't know if you guys also remember, so we also received $64,000 grant from the state for serving lunch and then, all of other stuff during pandemic. So we use that money towards this project. So again, after finding out that we also needed a concrete job, so we reach out to two, three companies. One of them gave like $50,000+. And that was through Universal Awning, who built the shade structure. And then they said, okay, that was too much. And then he said he would use his own personnel and then their people. So he would cut the cost to $32,000. and $500. And then there was another company we reached out, and then he gave $25,000 and $200. So we went with AG Construction. So they did a good job. And so the total, can you go a little down, Jenny? Sorry. Okay. So this is the breakdown of the whole project. Again, as I said, $75,000 you guys approved, but the cost exceeded by $23,750. So the MSA one, MSA one is gonna use their operational budget to pay this extra expense, which they had, I think over $1 million surplus this year as well. So that's why it's not gonna impact their operation as well. That's kind of where we are with this project. And then if you wanna go down a little bit, Jenny, we also put some pictures. Go down a little bit more. Okay, so this is without the shade, before we put the shade structure, and from two different angles. And then if you go to the next page, so this is after, actually not after, they were still working on it, but this is how it looks like right now. So there are three pictures. And then the last one is right in front of the school. So right now it's shaded, and then kids are using, staff is using before school, after school, lunch, during nutrition. Patrick, did I forget to cover anything? Do you want to add anything?
So given the timeline that we faced, the most important marker being at the start of school, we knew that we needed to have this completed by the start of school, in part because we promised it to our parents. So we knew that getting this project completed was, both important to, to fulfill that promise to our stakeholders, as well as to make this this courtyard more functional, especially in light of the current pandemic. So at that point, when we realized that the costs were going to be more than what was approved by the board, we had to ask Alfredo to use his emergency powers that he then had to help us, move forward and complete the work. So otherwise, but for the timing, we would have obviously brought this back to the committee and to the board for approval. That certainly would have been our intent. However, again, just given the timeline, the expiration of the grant funding that we were using, the start of school, we had to make a decision fairly quickly. So, we elected to move forward with it. I think, as you can tell from the pictures, it's the area is a lot more useful now. So we think it was the right decision. And, this area is much more better for the school's use in terms of not, having the sun beating down on kids during their use of this space, during school.
I'm happy to answer any questions that you guys might have. Thank you, Patrick, for adding those information.
Thank you. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
This is Mikan. I just have a comment. I just want to thank you all for putting this together. I know the school very well. I know how hot it gets in summer. You know, coming up with 2/3 of it with the grant money, that's another feed, I think. I'm really glad to see this going up. Thank you.
I just have one question. What is the durability of the sales of these, the awnings, whatever you want to call them?
If I'm not, I don't remember on top of my mind, on top of my head, Ms. Gonzalez, but I think if I'm not mistaken, it's like 20 years.
Okay.
But I can definitely confirm with you as well.
Thank you.
Sure.
This is Patrick, if I may. Yeah, it does have a warranty. I'm not sure the warranty covers the entire projected life, but I do recall that it's fairly substantial. I think on the low end, 5 years, possibly 10 years. The trick here is the shade sales themselves were not really the most expensive piece. It was really, frankly, the engineering, getting mm-hmm. these posts down into the ground, in some instances, 9 feet. I mean, this is a sturdy construction. So this is, as long as we want to have these shade sails there, you know, we can easily do it. So I think we've not only provided a short-term solution, but also a long-term solution for the school. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions or comments from our committee members? Perfect. If not, then no further action is needed since this is just an informational item. So that concludes all of our items for tonight's meeting. If there's any or further questions or comments from our committee members, then we'll go to the adjournment of the meeting. So with that, Mr. Mohamedov, may you please adjourn the meeting? The time is 7:08 p.m.
Yes, definitely. It is 7:08 p.m. and we adjourn the Audit and Facilities Committee meeting. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.